was Laughing Backwards off the new album Lucky Number by Optic Sync. Jamming, y'all. That sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. Thanks.
Where did you record this?
We recorded in Lawrence, Kansas with our friends Caulfield Schnug and Lira Mondel of Sweeping Promises.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, huge shout out. They rule.
Yeah, and so they have kind of a home studio set up.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
The Donut House.
What's that?
The Donut House. It's beautiful.
The Donut House.
Yeah, it's really cool. The studio, like where we actually recorded, was it used to be like a sculptor, like an art, like they would have like live sculpting in it in the house and with the people who owned the house.
But this
them.
Is built into their house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like this big, like beautiful light filled room with like a lot of wood.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I guess it used to be like a bunch of people would gather and like sculpt or draw, or like it was like an art studio. And
so this is like it's something that was added onto the house. It's like an art studio.
Yeah.
Wow.
It seems like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can still kind of separate. You're like not literally like in somebody's living room, like with a four track.
Yeah.
I'm cutting vocals in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there is, it's funny. There is, it's a little bit. Yeah. There's like the studio and then there is like a bathroom connected to it. So we did actually the background vocals on that song you just played are me and Lyra. There's like a me track, like a normal one. And then there's another track kind of tucked in that's me and Lyra hollering in the bathroom.
Oh, nice. We were hollering in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's a normal recording session.
Right. Gotta have that.
Yeah, that's great. And then, and that's where you did Glass Blocks too, right?
Yeah.
All right. You're on a, that's a good streak that y'all are on there.
It's a good formula.
It's a good formula.
Yeah, and we've got a good like rhythm going with, right. With Caulfield and Lyra for sure.
Right, you sort of have a working relationship that's established.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they know what you're working with.
Can't wait for the next one.
Right. And Caulfield, because he records, they record other bands.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Souped Activist record.
Yeah, oh man.
He recorded, of course, their material too.
Yeah.
Your records, but this is a different type of thing. This is not just, you know, come in, there's, let's cut the rhythm tracks with a drummer and a bass player and everything. It's a different approach. So how does that work in a studio? Like, because I'm curious, like, it's not like, okay, let's get the drums, bass, and guitar laid down and a scratch vocal, et cetera, like what you normally do. So how do y'all approach that? Like, do you, Ben, you, I'm assuming, program the rhythm part?
Yeah, I'd say drums. The way that we do it isn't too different than a more traditional band, but instead of like bass, drums, guitar, scratch vocal, it's just sort of like, let's get down what we've got and then start fine tuning it or adding to it. You know, y'all wanna...
I mean, I guess they, Lyra and Caulfield, have a lot of gear as well. So that was one factor in it. Because, you know, we have our drum machines and stuff like that. But when we got up there, I mean, for Glass Blocks, they had like a Linn drum machine for all you gearheads out there.
Right.
And then what was the other one that you used?
Yeah, this one was the New Order one.
Oh, right. The DMX drum machine. So, yeah, the Linn drum was on Glass Blocks, but DMX was on Lucky Number. And the drums were super fun to record because it was sort of like a Frankenstein kit. It was like all playing at once, but it was like three drum machines and then selectively muting voices to sort of combine like the clap from this one, the snare from that one, the kick from that one. So yeah, it was like DMX, the 808 clone, and Natalie's drum brute impact.
Picking
all sort of
the best tones
like,
of all of them.
And you so know. You're stacking these and kind of constructing them, but then when y'all perform the song, like when you get the basic track, are you actually, is all that locked in, or are you doing like a basic drum track to get the other instruments, or is all this stacked into the actual recording? Because that's all plug-in stuff. You're not miking everything, right?
Right, yeah, just taking the individual outputs from those machines and running it into Caulfield's mixer. So like, and there's like, it's not all programmed. I'm tapping
you
stuff
manually
in.
Play drums like as if you were playing a drum too, because I've noticed live
sometimes.
Even I can see Ben, but he's like doing stuff
just like certain parts and then also like throwing it into the effects. So that's sort of like another performance element that, you know, so it's not just like hit play, let it go, record it. It's, you know, I try to put some performance in there.
Yeah. Make it swing a little bit.
Yeah, not too
bit.
Much, but not too little. Just sort of
right.
what and makes
for
sense.
For the most part, all these were cut live. You know, the main bulk of it was like live takes.
Right.
Yeah, and like even some of them, like Don't Look Down was basically like kind of completed. The writing of it was like completed as we finished the, as we recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of did that thing that I feel like X-Cult did when we were recording together, and like other bands I've been in have done, Knots has done, where like you play, I think we had played it like 3 times or something, and we like listened back and we were like, that one has the best
right
verve. And we even, I think we even ended up mixing in some scratch vocal with that a little bit. Or no, we re-recorded it the way it was recorded. But yeah, so they still have this kind of like live feel, even mm-hmm. though we do have a lot of like programming going right. on.
Well, I'd say one thing too, though, about the approach that y'all are using is it's, y'all recreate it live perfectly. Like what you hear on the, because you know, sometimes it's like a band goes in a studio and it's like, oh, we can do all this stuff, mm-hmm. so let's do it. But then when they play, it's like a four, five piece band, and it doesn't all have that. I know that happens to us, but the song becomes a different thing. But y'all, when y'all play, it's like you,
it's all still there.
It sounds like the song. Yeah, all the elements are there.
That's like a pretty conscious decision. So when we went into the studio, Caulfield and Lyra have like so many great ideas like for production, and Lyra is like a music just like genius. Like she just has this amazing ability to like really listen and then come up with these like counter melodies or like ideas for background parts or stuff like that. And she had a lot of ideas, and we had to have some conversations that were like not difficult but sort of like intentional about being like, we don't want to get stuck not being able to do this live.
To recreate it,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't put too much magic.
Exactly,
on it.
Yeah. Because it's like for me, the live experience of seeing a band is like really, really special.
Right.
And I like that the live experience is like different from the album, but I for Optic think I wouldn't want it to be so different that you're like, oh man, I'm missing this like.
Yeah, that this whole thing is like it's studio trickery and it's not translating, which
exactly.
is not true.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because, I mean, I've seen y'all everywhere from, like, you know, in a club, in a nightclub, in a venue, to, was like 2 weeks ago, I saw y'all playing outside of a horse barn. in the country at night with, like, crazy lights projected behind you. And
we do it all.
Tapping into our roots.
Yeah, and just to see it in these different environment, you know, in these different settings, and it translates is really cool. So
thanks. Yeah, it's really fun. I'm glad we've had the opportunity to play so many cool spots. I feel like Memphis has really like picked it up in the past couple of years with like interesting places to play.
Exactly. And you all have some stuff coming up, and we'll get to that too, if you want to play it. All right, let's hear Lucky Number. This is the title track off of Lucky Number by Optic Sync. We'll be right back. Ooh. All right. That was Lucky Number, the title track off Optic Sync's new album, Lucky Number. Thanks for coming down, y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
For sure. All right, so we were talking about the recording process and how y'all do that and, you know, some of the equipment stuff that y'all use. So before you get to the recording process, you have the writing process.
Yeah.
And I've been reflecting on this conversation that I had with you, Natalie, and it was around when we did the Demo Love thing last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And y'all were ramping up, gearing up, working towards the recording of this album. And we were talking about that process, and it was like, we were talking about the idea of a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, a deadline's a good thing, because if you know that, like, we have this thing that we want to do.
Yep.
But, and I know at that time you were saying, we're looking at probably recording maybe in the fall, mm-hmm. like into the winter. And when did y'all end up recording it?
We scooted the
deadline
down.
Yeah, the deadline
down.
Moved.
we were up there, what, in March?
It was March, yeah.
March, yeah. My reply to the whole thing was like, I can't have a deadline at this point. Like, we worked together and had deadlines on stuff. And it's like, the idea of going into the studio and knowing exactly what you're going to do mm-hmm. versus having an idea of what you're going to do. And just reflecting on that now and then hearing y'all talk about this thing. Well, when we got to the studio in Lawrence and it's like, oh, you have this drum machine and we can actually work that in.
Yeah.
Or you have an idea for a vocal melody mm-hmm. or you have an idea for a synth thing that we can add, guitar, bass, all the things that are on it. I think that that's awesome that you can have, I guess, the structure for the song, but it's not so locked in that it's not elastic enough to allow for mm-hmm. that.
So just like a template that you can modify.
Yeah,
like
that's like everything for us, I feel like, is like having, you know, because I feel like you want the confidence of being like, okay, we've practiced this a bunch, you know, so we have like a good base, but mm-hmm. you also want the like openness to be like, oh, it could all change, basically.
Right, right. And so this is another thing that fascinates me. Do you demo stuff before you go record an album?
We did this time. Yeah. We did half of them. Yeah, mm-hmm. we did four of them.
Is that something that y'all have done on the other albums?
Mm-mm, not really. Yeah. Not like officially. You know, we have a bunch of phone recordings.
Right. Phone. Exactly. Okay. A phone voice memo is like step one.
Yeah.
Like, and then, but then there's the idea of like, look, let's actually use like something that we could record this, layer it, sort of mix it, like something, but not quite the full studio thing, because I know that some bands do that really diligently to a degree that it's like, man, to me, the demo's kind of better than the final recording.
Yeah.
You know, you fall in love with the demo, and then it's like...
Yeah, I think a lot of the time, the demo is going to be better.
Demo love.
There's just a lot
Exactly,
of,
because you go into it with no pressure.
Most of the time.
Yeah, no pressure. Like, this is just an idea.
It's all feeling, too.
Mm-hmm. Our demos are interesting because we did four of them. And speaking of deadlines, I can't remember if it was just me or me and Keith or how we came around to this, but we were like, we're going to do it all in one night. We're not going back to mix these demos. We're not overdubbing vocals.
Just
we're,
like, we're going to play the album.
We're going to play the four
songs
record. We have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we met up with Drew, Andrew McCullough.
Drew Dog!
What up, Drew?
I really like the spontaneous greeting.
Yeah.
Like
exactly Mickey,
how
baby.
Exactly how I
say Andrew
in
and it's
life.
Like, which one?
Yeah.
Drew Dog!
Drew! So yeah, we met up with Drew and he like got it sounding so good and we just like played the four songs and then we like mixed them immediately. Like, and then he like printed them.
To the Roland, he did the 1824. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then,
that's the best probably like pretty quick and easy sketch, but beyond a point of a voice memo on a phone.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. We didn't want to get like in the weeds doing that because honestly, we were so under the gun, like trying to finish the other four songs.
So okay, so for like an idea of the timeline, so that was like the May or so of last year when we had that conversation.
Yeah, when we talked with Greg. Yeah,
and then. When did y'all do the demos? Because this has a total of 8 tracks, and you're saying you had 4.
Probably seemed like last year, or it seemed like last fall, winter when we were doing all this.
So roughly halfway between when the album got made, because there's 8 tracks, and you had like 4 done.
Yeah.
I seem to remember like October of last year, really just putting full focus on finishing all the songs for this.
We had to send the demos to feel it too, because Sam was like, I called him and I was like, hey, we want to do another record, you know.
Let me know what it sounds like.
Yeah, Sam was basically like, all right, cool, well, I need to hear it.
I need to hear something. Fair enough. And you're like, before we go record the whole thing and get all this done, let's figure out. Shout out Feel It Records, too.
Oh, yeah,
that was another reason for the demoing, just like for trying to woo this label. It's like, let's give them a good quality.
Yeah, we like to woo.
Woo. Woo! Yeah, turn that woo into woo woo.
Optics Inc. really likes to woo you.
We have to woo.
Yeah.
You have to.
We must woo.
Full-time job.
No getting around it.
Yeah.
But that, like, you know.
So it's a good exercise for y'all to just sort of lock in, like, this is the direction, and also give the label an idea of, like, this is what we're working on, and this is what it's going to basically be like.
And, for
because
sure.
Because on Glass Blocks, there was a track that y'all sort of just wrote in the studio, wasn't it?
There
and that's fun, too, because that kind of opens you up, especially, like, once you're in the process, like, we got all the heavy lifting out of the way.
Yeah.
We got, like, the main stuff recorded. Some of this is open-ended. Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's, like, 100%, like, the process for me, because it combines, like, the like, structure that personally I feel like I have to have, or else I would just go into a studio and, like, fail. Like, I would just be so stressed out and would, like, not be able to do it.
Right.
But it also gives the, like, the freedom and the, like, really, like, the special, like, the most interesting and special part of recording, where, like, all the surprises happen.
Yeah, it's what I call the happy accident. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, oh, we didn't know that was going to happen, but that's the beauty of being kind of in that moment.
Exactly.
Especially, like I said, you're sort of in the mode, you're in the flow of the work by then.
Yeah, you're just locked in, and that state of mind is easier to access.
Right.
Like, having, you know, getting all the stuff you know about out of the way, or not out of the way, but completing it, was awesome, because having enough time also to, like, really focus all day if you want to on, like, creating something new.
Right.
And, you know, you're not at your house and you're not in town. You don't have to, like, go do something later. So you can just really let it rip.
Focus,
Some sole purpose at the moment.
And, I mean, I got to say, like, being sequestered in this beautiful, light-filled studio in the Midwest in the winter, like, that's a good place to be. There's not a lot of distraction.
Yeah, no. Not at all. I mean, honestly, JB, I, like, got really addicted to the idea of it after we did the first X-Cult record. Like,
leaving town to do the record?
In San Francisco, because it was like... And, you know, that was a different experience because we're flying, like, across the country.
Bings, what up?
Yeah. But, I really, like... For me, my attention span is just, like, not... I have to really, like... be immersed in something. I kind of feel like I'm either, like, all or nothing sometimes, for better or worse. But so this idea of, like, going to Lawrence, like, going in the middle of nowhere, pretty much. Lawrence is an awesome town, but
Lawrence is killer. It's great. And
we don't know anybody there.
Yeah, we're just, like, working.
What's going on tonight?
Right.
And Caulfield and Lear are, like, huge shout out to them, because, I mean, they are, like keeping this arm of the, like, DIY scene, like, alive in such a cool way. They're providing,
absolutely,
like, they are, like, down to, we were doing this for, like, 12 hours a day or something, and they're, like, in it, you know. They're really stoked about it, and, like, create this environment that's really like, fruitful for, like, creation, you know?
Very dedicated to it.
It's really beautiful.
And you can only spend so many hours in Love Garden just flipping through.
I don't know. Ben could maybe.
Could spend some time.
Yeah. Quality time. All right.
Good listening station.
They have a very good listening station. Can I borrow those needles? All right. Let's hear another tune off the... there's a good brunch spot right down the way, too.
Oh,
Optics
Inc. loves talking brunch.
Yeah, they've got, like, 4 A-plus breakfast options.
Yeah, they like their breakfast out there. All right, let's hear Construction right now. You're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis, Raised by Sound. The people Optic Sync right there. With Construction off their new album, Lucky Number. Jamming, y'all.
Thank you.
I love it. I love the fade in and the fade out on that.
Hell yeah. All
right, I've got to ask the question I've been waiting to ask. Natalie, you do all the design on this, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about specifically, well, I mean, I have questions about and just your approach. I've got to say this, though, on the front end. When bands are able to completely capture what they're doing sonically, visually, that's
in-house.
Always, yeah, that's, yeah, in-house. There's like, you know, I feel like a lot of the, you know, great bands can match. There's something about the design aspect of it. And this is the part that I don't know about. I have an understanding of music and recording to some degree and stuff like that, putting all that together. But like design, no, I'm just like, I don't know. It's an art, obviously. But what can you tell me about your approach to design for all of this stuff that you do for Optic Sync? I mean, in general, but Optic Sync specifically, like what ties all that together?
Oh, man. So with Optic Sync specific, I feel like the design came the most into its element like this year, like with
really?
This record and the flyers. Yeah, I feel like I was kind of sketching and wandering a little bit with some of the other stuff, but this one felt more like this year, like I said, it felt a little more cohesive. So for that one, I was thinking a lot about like luck, like in general, like
mm-hmm.
for this record and the title, of course, Lucky Number, and thinking sort of about like superstition, but also like routines and simultaneously like slot machines and like scratchers and all that. So I wanted that like really repetitious like look on the front to kind of look like a slot machine that wasn't lining up.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about like the that like Lucky Sevens lotto scratcher that kind of has the pattern,
right?
And then on the back, so I made the pattern for the front, and I was like, oh, I think that's the cover, like after I like designed the pattern. And then on the back, I was like, I think it'd be really cool to have some contrast, so I wanted it to look like kind of one of those like bootleg, like I have this really cool, it's like a house 12-inch, but it's just got the record label like repeating, and it kind of has a similar vibe as the
mm-hmm.
the Lucky Number repetition thing. But then I wanted to draw from some of the like punk influences too, on top of the like dance stuff. So I did that little sticker that kind of looks like, or it's not actually a sticker, but the square on the back that kind
of
looks.
Yeah, on the back, it looks like one of those just like, you know, you see like bootleg records where there's a sticker that's just on
yeah.
it for the label or something. It almost looks like you could feel where the edge
yeah,
of the sticker
good.
Is.
Yeah, oh, thanks, good.
The way that it's situated on there, and it's very like Xerox looking, that
yeah.
the photo is. And then this, I've got to ask about. Y'all would have to look online to see the picture. This right.
the mask.
The mask, yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're asking about the masks. So I was researching, one of my favorite inspirations for graphic design is like 80s, sometimes late 70s, like newspapers with the ads in the back and the like columns of ads. I've actually had to design a bunch for my job, so I've gotten this like look at a lot of them through like newspapers.com or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's where that one came from. But it's like the theater ads like
mm-hmm.
for the movies have always been like just like huge inspiration to me, like the fonts, the way it looks, all of that. But that one came from like a community theater, like theater, like plays,
theater.
Right,
theater. And I just like loved how that looked. And you know, truthfully, like on a more, I don't know, like serious or whatever the right word is, note, but the album is very much like kind of, even that last song we heard, Construction, is like more about the idea of like a construction, like constructing reality,
mm-hmm.
or like maybe it's like something in your head that you've like built up into like a total reality. So this like relationship with theater and kind of like, you know, like on a personal scale and also on this like wider scale of like, you know, seeing some of these things play out that we've
yeah.
like seen in the past, like politically, and like some stuff we haven't seen, and it's just crazy, but kind of how all that ties in and influences one another.
Right. Because it's down here in the corner, but it grabbed, it's, this image specifically speaks to what you were just saying about yeah. some of the things going on. It's like, what's real and what's a mask, basically.
Yeah.
And what's laughing, who's laughing and who's crying.
Yeah, exactly. Who's doing both?
Yeah, because to look at it, even the insert, in this one, I've got to, like, just seeing this, I had not seen the insert for today. Yeah. The angles, there's... For me, when I listen to the music, and especially there's something for me, obviously, about with music that's driven by drum machines and things like that, that have, you know, whether it's quantized or it's in quote unquote perfect time versus a human is going to swing a little bit. There's something that's very linear about it. And that's like what I, when you see this, it's all very linear, even yeah. though they're broken up. And I see where you're talking about the slot machines where they don't match.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing about columns and lines that sort of is in the music too. It's really cool. Interesting. This though, did you design the Aaron Boyce, the front of the Aaron Boyce 7-inch?
Yeah, well, Chris had the idea. So Chris was like, had the vision basically, then I laid it out in Photoshop. That's funny, I didn't even think about that.
But thinking about stuff you've done, even the yeah. first Nod single with the NOTS, yeah. there's something that's always like linear and... Is columnic a word?
I don't know. I like it, though.
It is now.
Columnic. Yeah.
Columnic. Yeah.
I don't think that's
columnic
a word.
Theory.
I like it, though.
Yeah,
I'll
like
take
to study
it.
Columnic theory in design. And people are like, you don't really know what you're talking about. I'm like, maybe I don't.
I love a grid.
Maybe
I
don't.
Yeah, but I love the visual aspect of what y'all are doing and the way that it perfectly suits the music, because me being at an age where I was old enough to grow up where the primary method of like delivery for music, even before CDs, obviously was LPs.
Yeah.
And there's something that's still for me totally magical about listening to a record and zoning out on the cover art, on the back of it, the insert, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a completely different experience than like a J card
yeah.
or like whatever that you would get, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the object element of it is so cool. I love thinking about materials too.
Right.
So that insert is actually printed on like it's like offset print. It's like what a magazine would be printed
right.
on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel like that. It's not just paper.
Yeah.
It's not like normal paper stock.
Yeah. Totally. So it kind of has that that like very like advertising or magazine kind of gloss on
right,
it, which is
right.
interesting.
Okay, so tell me, just for people listening right now, where can they go to buy a copy of this record and look at all this stuff while they're listening to it?
Yeah, so you can buy a copy from us. If you're local, you can hit me up or hit Optic Sync up on Instagram, just Optic Sync, all one word. And we can figure that out. Or if you are not local, you can get it on Bandcamp. That's a good way if you want the digital files too, as well as the LP, or if you only want the digital files.
So if you just go to Bandcamp, Optic Sync?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if you just search Optic Sync on Bandcamp, we should come up. And then Feel It Records is selling it, so you can order from them online. Feel It Rules too, so you can check out the rest of their catalog. Locally, I think Honor has some copies and Shangri-La. So, yeah, those are the options.
All right, get yourself a copy of this record and enjoy. Yeah, you can enjoy looking at this as you're jamming out.
And I'm going to put, I've been meaning to do this for all the albums, but I'm going to upload the insert, I think, to Bandcamp. I think you can make it to where you can like download the PDF so the lyric sheet is like up and all that.
Okay.
So I'll figure that
yeah,
out.
Perfect.
Soon.
I love yeah. a lyric sheet too, because even though I think I know it's like, I think I know what somebody's saying.
Yeah.
it's always interesting to be able to
the
read.
The misinterpretations are really fun. I like when people tell me what they think I'm saying.
I know.
I make up a lot
one.
Of my own.
Yeah. I know.
I have my
like,
own album.
Yeah, exactly.
He's singing his own songs during the
own,
Optic
I have my own lyric sheet, okay?
Yeah, we'll release Keith's lyric sheet, too.
A lot of columnic theory.
The Keith sheet on columnic theory is forthcoming, y'all, so stay tuned. All right, let's go ahead and finish out Side A now. You mentioned this song earlier, Don't Look Down.
Yeah.
And what were you telling me specifically about this one?
This is the one that got, like, finished in Lawrence. It got started when I was working on a TV show in Nashville, and I got stuck in a hotel. I got, like, snowed in.
So you do design. That's what you do for a living, too. You do design, and that's what you were referencing with the old TV ads.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm a freelance designer, and I do some stuff for film and TV when there's a job to
cool.
be done.
Cool, yeah. Yeah. And so you were doing a job and you were snowed in?
Yeah, I went. They brought me to work for like a handful of days in Nashville, or like a week. I can't remember how long it was. And it was right when like this big snow hit, basically. So I essentially ended up working remote for a day out of a hotel in Nashville when I was brought to work in person, you know, which was kind of funny. So I couldn't leave the hotel, and it was like one of the like Candlewood Suites, like extended stay guys by like the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like basically moved in. I like brought all my sins, like total maniac.
Oh, you were jamming in the hotel?
Oh, yeah. I knew it because I was like, I'm not going to, you know, the shifts are so long. I work like 12-hour film and TV shifts. So
right.
I was like, I'm not going to like go out. I'm going to go eat like somewhere, and then I'm going to come back to the hotel and like play these sins, basically. So I had like planned on that, but then I got snowed in and I was like, all right, well, after I'm done working, I'm just going to play sins and walk downstairs and look at these trains in the snow. And I got kind of obsessed with the trains, and I was like taking videos of them and listening to them. Like the sound was really cool.
Yeah. And something about when everything's covered in snow, sound is different.
Yeah. Yes. Even like the crunch of the snow, and yeah, everything feels really muted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the single. This was the first single, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right. We're going to hear Don't Look Down by Optic, single off their new album, Lucky Number, right here on WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. All right, y'all, we're about to turn the corner. That was Cooking. That was the first single off Lucky Number by Optic Sync. That was Don't Look Down. Killer.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to...
Thank you.
We got to flip it over to Side B here. I might get a DJ assist. I do want to mention also that Natalie and Ben are DJs here at WYXR, just in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let y'all... plug your shows.
Oh yeah, Ben, you go first.
Not let, but I'm gonna ask if you'll plug.
Yeah. Tonight at 7, from 7 to 8, actually every Sunday, you can listen to me play records on Do You Believe under my alter ego, DJ Damp Velour.
Yes.
You're here.
Check it out.
You'll be back down here today in the bowl.
Yeah, Ben's show is so good. Definitely check that out. And I DJ every Thursday night from 10 to 11. My show is called Strange Wave.
Right on.
Yeah.
So we got Thursday and Sunday. So keep it tuned to WYXR 91.7 FM. Man, we're halfway through the record already.
Yeah, crazy.
Time flies.
Jamming. For real. So that's side A, and now we're going to hit side B. And this is... It's got four tracks on side A and four tracks on side B. Symmetry is important too.
The Columnic theory. Columnic theory in full practice.
Really on to something here. So I've got to ask you about the photo, because we were talking about the insert, and I see, and there's a whole. I've seen y'all. I used one of them today for the to promote the show. Is this photo series by Nate Packard.
Yeah.
I love these. And there's a variety of them in there.
Oh, yeah.
Textures, there's black and white, there's color.
Yeah.
There's different settings. What can y'all tell me about that?
Oh, man. So Nate is one of my favorite photographers going right now. Like, I've been a big fan of his work for, like, years now. If y'all haven't seen it, check his stuff out on Instagram. It's just Nate Packard all together. And he's just done stuff for so many people, but so I've always really, really wanted to work with Nate, and I hit him up about doing these, and he was stoked about it. So he came up, I think I gave him like maybe like two loose ideas. I think I was like, I'm really into neo-noir like films.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I might have said like we like the color red.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
A couple mood board
items. Yeah. I mean that was really it though. Like everything with these photos Nate brought to the table. Like he came up with all of it, including like and like executed them in such a cool way. Like the one in the insert was shot in this really cool, like a mid-century modern house that he had access to, so yeah, we just kind of like ran around the house and took all these photos, and then we met up later at Bar Keo and took some more.
Mm-hmm. That's the outside one on the street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this photo is very interesting. I was trying, because I find myself like trying to figure out like what the setting is.
Yeah.
Like, is it a motel or like you said, a mid-century house?
Yeah.
Like, he has this architect's house, and it was his own home, so he was fully flexing his skills.
Was he there?
No, he passed away, but the house was for sale, and I guess Nate knew the realtor,
mm-hmm.
and so we had access to it.
Nice.
Yeah,
it was such a cool experience, and I mean, we had no idea. Like, we showed up, and Nate, you know, Nate's such a pro. He was like, I mean, it was like 2 hours, Like, it was, and we were like changing outfits and stuff, you know. But we really didn't know what these were gonna look like. I think he might have like had me peek in the camera for that one, because this one's crazy. It's got, for everyone listening, it's got like a mirror in the background.
Is Ben in a mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of optical.
There's a lot of layers
at play.
It looks really filmic too.
It was hard to get in there.
It's like he's either in another room or he's in a mirror.
Yeah, it's a mirror. I mean, Nate just has this way of making every shot look like just the most gorgeous, like film still or like painting. And I mean, I think that across the board with his work. So.
And these are film photos. They're not digital.
Yeah, they're film. He mm-hmm. was shooting with this really cool, like medium format, like camera that he was saying he's like, really can't take this out of the studio usually, or you shouldn't, but he was. And I think he catches like a really cool, the texture and the look of them are due to that. Too.
Yeah, and that's Nate Packard on Instagram. Yeah. Just Nate Packard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from Memphis.
Yeah, totally.
Right on. Does he do a lot of band photos or?
Yeah, he shoots tons of stuff. Yeah, lots of band photos, lots of portraits. He's been doing some really cool video work lately too. So yeah, definitely spend some time checking out his work.
I will. And also, yeah. Can you tell me too, while we're talking about it, the video?
Yeah, happily.
For Don't Look Down, yeah.
Yeah, so Mickey Thordson did our video. She has a crew called Low Budget Film Productions. That's her film production company. Mm-hmm. And she had like mentioned working together with me like a while ago. Like I want to say like New Year's, we were like dancing and she was like, we should do a video. And I was like, yeah, I love your work.
Time to make a plan.
Mid-dance. Yeah. Let's make a video.
Mid-dance, yeah. Baby. Yeah, New Year's Eve was a great night. So, yeah, we had talked about that, and then we, like, touched base closer to when this record was getting finished. So I knew I wanted to work with Mickey, and pretty much I sent her the song and gave her, I mean, we might have given her, did we give her any direction?
Not really. We basically warned her, it's like, we have nothing, yeah. So you got
to
come up.
Like concept-wise, yeah. Like yeah. What you were trying to do. Yeah,
we're in your hands.
And that's what's so cool about this. Though. Same with Nate. Like I did the same thing with Mickey. I sent Nate like the album art, like the front and the back, and I sent Mickey the same thing and like the album, of course. And they both listened, you know, and like came up with this idea of what they wanted to like express visually after hearing it. So. Mickey, I mean, the song she did was Don't Look Down, so it was, like, a lot of train reference, a lot of, like, chain link fence shots. There's a really cool, like, fisheye surveillance concept that she came up with for it, and this whole kind of loose narrative. Oh, I did talk to her about my love for the Depeche Mode music videos.
Yeah.
I was like, that, if there's any reference, it's that, like, Anton Corbijn, like, loose, like, you know, Depeche Mode kind of, like, it's a really loose narrative. They'll have like
some
really
type
loose
of
narratives.
Story
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's nothing like, you know, it's not like you're watching a short film or something. It's
right.
Just like a loose thing. But yeah, Mickey came up with all of that and did.
Was
such
that
a
shot
job.
On film too?
No, she had like a variety of cameras. She had some like older, she shoots like bands around town on these like older cameras that look really cool. Like I think it's all digital or maybe like little tapes.
Yeah, there's like digital handy cams and then she sort of, yeah, it's like that and then the modern digital cameras.
Yeah, because there's an analog quality mm-hmm. to the video. I know that too, like from looking at it. That's what I was wondering, if it was actually film or just something, because it doesn't look like it was like shot on like an iPhone.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, definitely cameras and all across the board as far as what year.
Right, and it's up on YouTube, so mm-hmm. people can go watch the video too.
Yeah, if you search Feel It Records on YouTube, they've got like their music videos up.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to turn the corner now to side B. This is exactly what I was talking about. It's 11:30 and we're going to start.
We're
going to get on down the line. That's right. All right. So coming up now, we got How Can I Help You by Optic Sync right here on WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. We'll be right back. All right, that was How Can I Help You. That's kicking off side B of Lucky Number by Optic Sync. We were sitting here while we were listening to that, having the conversation about, you know, we've been talking about writing, y'all's writing process, and then the recording process. And so the other component here besides the music and the recording is the lyrical part, and we were just getting kind of into that without getting too far into it. Because I think when you ask people, what is this song about or whatever, it's mm-hmm. kind of the thing we're talking about. It's better when somebody can kind of make that be
yeah.
what they wanted or need it to be.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's a fine line.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
So that was How Can I Help You. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, I had to sneeze. I didn't want to be impolite.
It was an epic sneeze. Yeah. Y'all missed it. Sorry.
Buddy.
All right, so in the process of talking about this, the writing and the recording of it, and I know y'all were saying you had four tunes that you had demoed going into it, and then you finished the rest of it before the recording in March. So when you're sequencing this, one, what is your approach to sequencing, and two, does it have anything to do with the order in which they're written?
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the order that they're written. And then this one, I think, like, I'm pretty sure I wrote out the sequence for this one after we recorded in Lawrence, and then we started listening to it in the sequence.
So it wasn't even during the mixing process.
It was like pre-mixing, I suppose. You know, when you're like listening back
the
and kind of like
the rough takes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I had written out one and we didn't like it, and then I changed it completely. Yeah.
Yeah, band breaks. I get the whiteboard.
Yep, cross it out.
Wasn't hitting.
It yeah. wasn't hitting, and then we changed it to this mm-hmm. one. Yeah.
Is there any consideration given, like, I don't know the real science behind this. I'm just saying stuff that I don't really have any idea what I'm saying. So I'm happy to be corrected. But isn't there a thing, too, with like the way that Jesse Mansfield helped me out, or probably like a dozen other people we know, like that certain, like the more dense, loud songs are supposed to be closer to the front side of a song?
Yeah, which we ignore. More
that's an element.
Yeah, ignore the rules.
I kind of like it when those dense ones are closer to the middle.
Yeah.
It sounds cool to me.
Yeah.
Also, if you put too much time on a side, I think it makes it sound cool.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Props. Yeah. This is like, there's no wasted space on this record.
It's really creeping up on the label.
Very limited runoff groove. There's always something about that, like for me, just psychologically, when you are looking at an LP and there's like this much runoff groove, you're like, man, there's a lot of real estate.
Yeah,
you could have put a jam. Wasted real estate. You could have put another jam on there.
Is just loose, free plastic.
Yeah, like sometimes you find a single with just like a glossy side with nothing on it.
I know.
You ever seen one of those?
Yeah, I have.
You actually put one out.
What?
That Knott's remix, the Mikey Young one.
Oh, I've never.
Or you didn't put it out, right. But somebody did.
I've
it's
never
a,
flipped it over.
Yeah, there's just nothing on
wow.
the other side.
I love Talk it. She goes, I never flipped it over.
Talk about wasted material. Knott's, jeez.
You know that thing that you're not supposed to do, but sometimes you do it anyway, just see what'll happen? I like to drop the needle on that clear side. Just watch it.
Exciting.
Right, I'm going to put my own grooves on this. All right. Well, so with the sequencing, though, so you were finished with all the recording and you're going through it. And then was there anything specific that lent itself that you can say, like creatively or as far as like the vision you all have for it or something that you're expressing? Or is it like these just go the best in this order?
I mean, I knew I wanted it to end with Luxury of Honesty.
You knew that.
Mm-hmm, and I think we all kind of agreed on that pretty quickly. I think maybe the first sequence we had it like end of side A or something, or beginning of side B, and we were like, no, it's got to be the end of like the whole record.
Right.
Yeah, I think I remember just like the opener and the closer. those were what, you know, we wanted to start with.
So you knew Laughing like, Backwards was going to be
Something like punky and quick, and then Luxury is just like an experience.
The long, yeah. The stretched out jam.
And then just putting all that filler in the middle.
Right. All the filler in the middle. It's like making a sandwich. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because sequencing, I don't really get that very well.
I love it. I like thinking about it like a radio show, though. Like, I think I like think about it the exact same way I think about structuring a Strange Wave. Because I have to come in with, like, part of the radio show structured, and then I can, like, go...
And then
like,
you sort of ad-lib from there. Yeah,
exactly. I can't come in with, like, nothing, or else I'll just, like, forget how to put a record on or something.
Right, right. So just to get, like, started, and then from there, let it sort of work, and then work through what you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right, so coming up next, we're going to hear Golden Hour. You know I'm a fan.
Oh, yeah, I know you're a fan. Right, I thought of y'all whenever I was like, oh, this one's called Golden Hour.
I love it. All right, this is Golden Hour off Lucky Number, the new album by Optic Sync, right here on WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. Thank you. That was Golden Hour off Lucky Number by Optic Sync, the new LP on Feel It Records. We're sitting here while we're jamming out, Googling words that don't exist while we talk about...
things that do exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and finding out about things that do exist while we're talking about the approach to writing lyrics to music. All right, so now we've got 20 minutes left, and we got two jams left on the album. So, you know, we were talking about sequencing before this, so we're getting down to the final two. And then you said when you were sequencing this, you knew on the front end that you wanted Luxury of Honesty to be last.
Yeah.
And we've got Kinetic World before that, so we'll get to Luxury of Honesty and how that came up. But Kinetic World is the second... to last song, and it's a long jam. What can you all tell me about this one?
I'll really give the mic over. Like, I've been talking.
All right. Which song is in question here?
Kinetic World.
Oh yeah, Kinetic World. And Keith, you got anything to say about Kinetic World?
I can't really remember much. I mean, this was just one of those moments where I don't know. We were just sort of fleshing out jams, and this was, I guess. This one, I think, like, we all came up with together based off just playing together. That's my memory of it.
Hold on. This is a huge question I've had the whole time. I don't know how I missed this in the writing segment earlier that we covered. We did writing, recording, sequencing. We've got another chapter to add
another
to the...
Another ing to add to the
into
list.
Into the columnic layout.
I remember the demoing of this one went really well. This was one of those four that we demoed with Drew, and I remember as we were recording it, I had a really good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, like, kind of thought, like, oh, dang, this is turning out good. Mm-hmm. Also, Keith, I'd like to offer you an opportunity to make a retraction.
Oh, yeah. So for all you dear listeners, when I said filler in the middle, I assume that's what Ben is.
Yes, it is.
Stung about. I didn't mean it in a negative aspect.
All right. Thank you.
It's the songs between the first and the last.
Yeah.
One.
That's so not, well, and we were referencing a sandwich.
It's the meat.
Yeah. And each
a sandwich you're building.
Each bite of a sandwich is more miraculous than the other. So as you enter the middle of a sandwich, it's not filler, but you're getting filled by the nourishment.
We can't start talking slop. JB had a question.
We have 17 minutes and 21 seconds.
JB, I'm sure you're asking about the writing process.
I was, but hold on. But hold on. Just so you all know, this will be on the archive because that last little thing that just happened for the past 20 seconds, I'm gonna have to go. Yeah, that y'all, that's like almost inside the tour van type of.
I saw
Optic Sync go into like, it's just the three of us having this conversation mode. This is not being broadcast on terrestrial airwaves. So
forgive
you can,
me, dear listeners.
You can go to no celebrate with you. Go to WYXR.org and you can see the schedule of the shows. But you can download this and listen again at your, as Keith likes to say, leisure. Hey, friends. Hey, happy Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big love for the WYXR people here. All right. Yeah. So back to the thing. Writing thing. So do y'all like jam these into existence? Or Natalie, you were saying on How Can I Help You, or I mean on Don't Look Down, which one you were talking about being in the hotel, and like you're like, I brought my synths to work, so I'm like jamming this out. So how does the writing, is it like I have a synth part, or there's a rhythm, or how does that normally work? Because we haven't even gotten into the whole conversation about adding guitars and bass, because before, like, the synths, you were playing guitar and bass and started adding all this stuff to it. So basically what I'm asking is, how does the writing work?
It happens a lot of different ways for us. On a lot of these, I would have, like, a really basic guitar part or synth part. Like, construction kind of came from a thing that I wrote for this Halloween 3 soundtrack.
Right on.
Yeah. And then a few of the other ones, like Lucky Number and Golden Hour, came from me just, like, writing guitar at home. But really, like, the real deal writing happens whenever whatever, like, basic part, like the synths for Don't Look Down or, like, the guitar or whatever, comes into the studio, and then we start writing together. And then on this one, we had an interesting process where, like, we would meet up for our like weekly practice and work on stuff together. And then like me and Keith would meet up on some additional days to work on like melodies to get it like more fleshed out before we met up with Ben again.
Put the hooks on it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. baby. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think this record took a huge step forward melodically because we did pay a lot of like extra attention to the hooks and to like working out what the, what like me and Keith's parts were like doing together. Specifically like in the melodic sense. And then we would like go back to practice with Ben, and Ben would add all the like magic drum layer, because me and Keith would just practice like the most basic drum beat you've ever heard on my drum machine. So we just left that like totally up to Ben. Another interesting element on this one is that Greg Cartwright came to a couple practices and was like helping us with some songwriting insight.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, he came to a practice where we were working on the song Lucky Number.
Mm-hmm.
And the song was like written, you know, and we were like, we had it to where we could like show him the song.
But we knew it wasn't finished.
Yeah, it wasn't like quite clicking. And Greg is such a like deep listener. Like mm-hmm. he's such a like fan of music. Obviously, he's like one of the best songwriters. You know, mm-hmm. he's just this like amazing person with this amazing insight to have on
this.
Shout
out, Greg.
Yeah, shout out, Greg. So he listened to Lucky Number, you know, he just kind of sat over like in the corner of the studio, listened, and then offered some like really particular insight, which was really cool. He would mm-hmm. he would like talk about like Keith's bass part doing something slightly different, or the vocals doing something a little different, or like dropping everything out. He really offered this like, you know, he didn't change the song, but he made it all like come into focus mm-hmm. kind of with these like little changes that really made it snap.
That can be so helpful sometimes. It's somebody that you know and trust that just sort of has a different point of view because you're so inside of it. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all are so inside of the process that having somebody that you know and trust to say, what are you seeing from your perspective
mm-hmm.
that you could offer to it? That's great.
He also had an effect, I think, like mentally overall, he had an effect on all of us. Just the fact that we were going to show our songs to someone. Like if you mm-hmm. were to come to one of our practices, or like Greg, or, you know, like he did, really just this mental, like, I don't want to show someone. I don't want to have not done my homework, you know?
Right.
I don't want this. I don't
Before
wanna,
it's time. It's not ready yet.
Yeah, or like, I don't want him to come to this practice and be like, do you even work on this stuff?
Right.
Like,
you can feel vulnerable to be in that position. Yeah.
Or like, you don't want to waste someone's time, you know? So, and for me too, I was like, I wanted to focus more on lyrics on this one, and I wanted them to be in a different place than they were on the last records and the stuff I did with Knots. And especially when Greg was like interested in working with us, I was like, I'm just not going to show Greg Cartwright like lyrics that are like total, right. like half-assed. You know?
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Dog on the log.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to, you know, put a lot of effort into all this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that I wouldn't without someone seeing it, but it did have this like extra layer.
Yeah. Well, and that gets back to the thing we were talking to earlier. Like once you commit to the lyric, because as I was mentioning on the insert, the lyrics are printed out. And that is, I've always enjoyed it. Like just reading along with the song to really understand, even though you might have thought it was something else that had its own particular meaning, seeing what the lyrics actually are.
Yeah.
I know that there's sort of people are split on that kind of thing, like whether or not they print the lyrics, but I like it.
I've always printed them.
It's like
them.
Reading poetry, you know, versus what you hear in the recording. Mm-hmm. But, well, all right, we've got 12 minutes left, and we still have two songs left. So we're going to move on with it. Yeah, we got Kinetic World right now by Optic Sync off their new album, Lucky Number, right here on WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. Thank you. All right, Optic Sync. That was Kinetic World off their new LP, Lucky Number. Thanks for coming down today, y'all.
It's been a pleasure.
Total pleasure. Thanks for having us.
No problem. I'm glad. Thanks for coming. And I have more questions, and we're not going to be able to get to them. So I do want to ask y'all real quick before we get to the last song, Luxury of Honesty. What do y'all have coming up, like gig-wise, tour-wise? What's going on?
Yeah, so we have our album release show is November 22nd at Memphis Print Shop. We're calling it Club Optic, one night only special event. We will perform this album cover to cover. And then Nate Packard is going to DJ. He's also an incredible DJ in addition to being a great photographer. And DJ Divya Babe, who is on in like 2 hours
right
here
on
WYXR, will also DJ. So come dance. Come party with us.
Can we promise dancing?
And we should promise dancing.
Enforce. Yeah. Enforce dancing.
There will be dancing.
Yes. Come prepared to dance.
Yes.
And that's on the 22nd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right on. Well, thanks for coming down today, y'all.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
I love the new record, and y'all can get it everywhere that we mentioned earlier, and y'all are Optic Sync on Instagram.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Got it.
Check it out. Give them a follow. Buy the record. Thanks for tuning in. Y'all stay tuned at noon. We're going to hear the last track off of Lucky Number by Optic Sync, and this is Luxury of Honesty right here on WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.